However, it's very exciting for us again that Rabbi Finkelman has agreed to come and share Divrei Torah with us. For most of you know who Rabbi Finkelman is, have benefited from his shmuzin in the past. But for those who don't know, Rabbi Finkelman is someone who has a tremendous hashpa'ah on hundreds, probably thousands of people because of his deep understanding of Torah Hashem and of how it speaks to people, his deep understanding of human beings. When the time comes and you're ready to get married, you have to hear his Shalom Bayis Shmuzin. It will change your life, it will change your marriage. And it's just an example of how he leads by example and leads with hadracha, practical hadracha, and a true sense of what a Ben Torah is supposed to strive to be. And it's again a very, very great kavod for us to have Rabbi Finkelman, and we're so excited that he agreed to give a shiur this morning.
Are you? Shukayach, Rabbi Leibowitz, Shukayach to Mary Abraham, Yeshua Kripnik, who've been in touch with me to be able to work out some sort of a schedule. And I appreciate, Rabbi Leibowitz, that the camp changed the learning schedule somewhat so that I could fit it into my work with my yeshiva in Monticello. And I also have a schedule for the day. So I had to figure out what to miss that would be easiest in the day. But it means a lot to me to come here. I enjoyed it very much last year, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that the camp has a chevra who are learning, and everyone gets to look at them and to see the Ahavas HaTorah, the Mesiras Nefesh HaTorah, and the staff members that are here are B'nai Torah. It's a very, very special thing. I want to tell you something, that when I was head counselor of Camp Trevor Das, which I was for 14 years, before I went to Dora Golding, and then there was the team program at Dora Golding, but when I was head counselor, so I had the staff meeting pre-camp every year. And I'll raise my voice, and they should be hot. Should I raise my voice? Maybe I should raise my voice. If it gets warm, you can put it back on. I'll speak louder. So I made a staff meeting prior to the summer every year. We gave the bachurim. I put the bunks together before the summer, because we always gave request forms for the boys to request who they want to be with, and I would call the parents in advance and let them know that you don't want your son with so-and-so, but he wants to be with your son, so I'll have to move your son to a different bunk, not him. You know, I had to work all this out before the summer came, so we shouldn't have headaches during the summer. And then I'd meet the boys a week before camp started and ask them to call each parent, introduce themselves, and ask if there's anything they have to know about the child. And yeah, so one time I made this meeting in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, in a Hasidic neighborhood, so we could go to hear the Zayda of today's Shkulenah Rebbe. The recent Patira of the Shkulenah from Borough Park was a tremendous loss for Klal Yisrael. But I took them to his father, the one who Nebuch was imprisoned in Siberia by the Russians and survived it and came out to continue to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu at an optimum level. And I want him to speak to my staff, to the counselors. You know, there's nothing, Tamadar Kenegat Kulam. But I want to encourage the staff members. What he said to them is very interesting. He said to them, you have more responsibility than a Rebbe in camp. The staff members, he said. Because very few children at the level of campers can relate to the Rebbeim as far as that they'll one day be that Rebbe. Because many of them see themselves as athletes and all different kinds of things that they are dreaming about. They're not yet holding there by dreaming so much about Torah, unless they have a father who's in Torah and they admire it. And he says, but many of them will dream about being a counselor or a waiter or a sports counselor, whatever it is. He said, so the example that you give is mamish more than what the Rebbe is. They're looking at you. You know, so it's such a chashivas to have B'nai Torah in positions of staff as well. What I want to talk about, though, is taka leadership. Because whether we are on staff, whether we are sitting and learning, we're being mashpia. There's a medrash in Parshas Vayeshev, where Yaakov Avinu was dreaming of finally living a good life. He finally passed the nesoyin of Esav and the nesoyin of Lavan, and he comes back with the shivteko other than Binyamin. Oh, it's Binyamin was born already. He comes back, Vayeshev Yitzchak be'eretz Mugurei Aviv be'eretz Kanaan. So Yitzchak, Yaakov, as Mugurei be'eretz Kanaan, He's living in the place where his father Mogur, where he sojourned, where Yitzchak sojourned in Eretz Canaan. He was dreaming of living a decent life. And the Medrash asks right away. My Rebbe Rav Wolfson pointed out to us, Eretz Yisrael wasn't Megurei Aviv. It wasn't a place where he sojourned. He wasn't a ger in Eretz Yisrael. His father Avram Avinu was, because when there was a hunger, he went to Mitzrayim. So he started out in Ur Kasdim. So for him, Eretz Yisrael, we could say, was a place, a mugger, a place where he sojourned. But it should really say in this first pasuk of Vayeshev Yaakov be'eretz Moishav Aviv be'eretz Canaan. Yitzchak wanted to go to Chutz La'aretz when there was a hunger in Parshas Toldos, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you can't. You were an Oilu Tamima, you can't leave Eretz Yisrael. Stay here and go to Gerar, go to the Pelishtim, stay in Eretz Yisrael. So he never left Eretz Yisrael from the time he was born. So why doesn't it say Moishav Aviv? So the Medrash answers that the Torah wanted a hint to us that the same way Avram Avinu was Megayer Geirim, Yitzchak was Megayer Geirim. Megurei Aviv here is not speaking about sojourning. That's not what the Gimel Reish stands for. But it's about being Megayer Geirim. There are two ways to be Makarev. There's Avram Avinu's way, Arachim seminars, Gateway seminars, you know, all the different organizations. Eshel Avram, he had a hotel, and he served good food. Shloshe Lashonis Bechardel, we see. He served three levels of tongue with mustard in the middle, that Rashi describes. So that's why he ran after the Boker, El HaBoker Rotz Avram. He gave them good food, and once you feed them well, you can talk intellectually with them. And he was Makarev people to Hashem. He did outreach. Yitzchok sat and learned, and he was Makarev by sitting and learning. Both ways, Akiruv. But whether we are leaders here in camp by learning or by being staff, we will all be leaders one day in our home. We're going to get married in Yitzchok Hashem, and we're going to have to leave our families. And that's what I want to speak about today from this week's parsha connected to last week's parsha. Chukas Balak usually go together. And this you'll find this in a sefer called Mo'iz Latam. It's a sefer written by the Talmidim of Yeshiva Edison, New Jersey. They had a mashgiach there for less than a year. Rabbi Yitzchak Kirzner, he was an unbelievable makarev rechokim in California for years. He ran the Renaissance Center there. And then he came to New York, and his wife took over the Beis Yaakov of Borough Park for her mother, Rebbetzin Kaplan, Olah Shalom. And he opened the Renaissance Center here for Kirov and a shul in Borough Park. And he gave unbelievable drashas. Unbelievable. So he took a job as Mashgiach in Edison and Nebuch. He was Nifter that year. He was in his early 40s. By his Levaya, Therese Rechem Sufka Rebbe, Shlita, said that this man was one of the biggest Balei Machshava in our generation. And what he addresses as follows, I'll introduce it with a thought from Rav Matasyahu Salomon Shlita. Rav Matasyahu has written a number of Sfarim that are called Matnas Chelkoi, and on different inyonim. So he has one on Shari Tshuva. I once met him at a chasen. I was learning it with the Beis Medrash by us, the Shari Tshuva with his Ha'orais. Later on, I learned the term of the Vayr with his Ha'orais in the Beis Medrash. That's unbelievable, his Kedushim. So he speaks there about when we daven every day in Shemayna Esrei. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should be zoicha to do Tshuva Shleima, complete Tshuva. And the Rambam describes Tshuva Shleima, that even if we come back to the exact same position that we were in, I say Makam, I say Isha, I say the whole situation the same, we would not do the Avera a second time. And he gives a description, which I'll pepper a little bit to make it more realistic and, you know, to our situation. I mean, I was saying, I met him at a chasen once, and I asked him a question on one of his orais. I can't tell you how excited he was that we were learning his sefer. It's amazing how much a person loves to hear you're learning their sefer. And it made me understand more about learning Torah and the simcha it could bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His sefer, his princess, that was written so much before the world was created, and he gave it to us, the Eibishter, and we learn it. I got that, and also from the Nesiva Shalom, I understood that as well. I met him only once in the Nesiva Shalom, once in my life. I went to Eretz Yisrael for the yeshiva once, and I was giving a shiur every week in the Nesiva Shalom. I still do in our yeshiva. And I figured I'll go in and see him. I love his sefer. I'm going to go in and see him once in my life. I went in, and I introduced myself, and I told him that I give a shiur once a week in his sefer. His eyes lit up. He took my hand, my right hand, in both of his. Now, we never met in my life. We never met. And he says to me, you are my best friend. You are my best friend. You give a shiur in this. I couldn't believe it. I said, so excited that someone is giving a shiur in his sefer. He was a tremendous anav. But the excitement that someone loves his Torah. That's why Matas Yoh also reacted, Yibod L'chaim Toivim, you know, when I told him. So he gives the following example. He says, here was a man who went on a business trip to a convention. I have a chaver who goes every year to Las Vegas for a show, for his business. I have my chavrusa. He goes away for a week, but my chavrusa goes with a chaver, with other from people. They bring their own food, Chol of Yisrael, everything they bring for a week. He told me they go from the airport in a taxi to the hotel. They do not leave the hotel at all until they go home. Because the streets are Malay Pritzas and there's all kinds of gambling going on there, and they don't want to see Las Vegas. They go for the show. They're diamond dealers and there's a diamond show in Las Vegas. That's what my chavrusa told me. They don't go out of the hotel, period. Ramatis Yo has a story, though, in his Ha'oris on Shari Chuvan. This fellow did go out, went to a from guy. And he got stuck in a bad hotel over there by whatever was going on. And he did a terrible Aveira. He was enticed to do a terrible Aveira. He met Potiphar's wife. What are you going to do? Rahman Litzlan. He felt like a dog, like an animal, like Rahman Litzlan people feel. After a healthy neshamas, after doing an Aveira, they feel awful. That's how healthy neshama is. I heard from the school, Rabbi Zechon Levracha, Dabar HaMelech. How come at the beginning of Malachim Aleph it says he could never be warmed by clothing? How can we, what did he do to deserve that? So the Chazal tell us, because he cut Shaul's coat. Because he abused clothing, clothing would never warm him again. So when he got older, it affected him very much. Nothing, no matter what they put on him, he wasn't warm. He was always cold. So the scholar ever said, why did he cut Shaul's coat? And of course he went back to the Chazal, that he was running away. He was already a melech, on the run, because Shaul was still alive. For 2 years, so he was on the run. He was hiding in an underground cave with his men. He had about 400 men with him, and Shaul was searching for him. And he was resting. He sat on the mouth of the cave where David was hiding, and his coat was hanging inside, in the hole of this underground cave. So one of the people with him, I think it was Avisha ben Tsruya. I'm not sure. I think it was. If I'm wrong, you correct me. I think it was Avisha ben Tsruya. Said to him, "He's a roidev. You're an innocent person. You're a melech." And there's halacha. Habala hargachav, someone's right. If he wants to kill you, hashken b'harago, you kill him. It's a mitzvah to save your own life if he wants to kill you wrongly. And there's no reason to kill you. You have an opportunity now. You could kill him. So David said, I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure that he's a right. If, you know, the Navi tells us Edus, that the Eibishter gave him depression because he didn't kill Amalek, one of the ancient that he got. And he was very unhappy. And David wasn't sure that if he got his hands on him, he really would kill him. He said, you know what? I'm going to make a test. I'm going to cut his coat. And the healthy neshama feels bad when you're doing aveira. You'll feel it sometimes. You're a Torah. You'll say something to someone that you mamish didn't mean to hurt them. And sometimes men are strong. You know, your wives won't be as strong, let me tell you. But, you know, dormitory, yeah, say something to a chaver, he can walk away, runs right off his back. But a healthy neshama feels, that was wrong. I shouldn't have said it. Because the healthy neshama, it talks to us. The neshama is up here. The Eibishter blew in the neshama up here. It's in our brain, or hovering over the brain. But in any case, we feel bad, and I should apologize to him, even though he didn't mind. He'll say, "I didn't mind. It's nothing. I was wrong." So David said, "If I feel bad after I cut the coat, I won't kill him. I'll know he's not really going to kill me." It's just that part of his depression is chasing me, but he wouldn't, if he got his hands on me, he wouldn't kill me. But if I feel good after I cut the coat, then I'll kill him. It would be a raya, because he knew he had a healthy neshama. And he felt bad. So he didn't kill Shaul. So in fact, the scholar Rebbe, by that, when he was giving this to Russia, so why was he punished? So why didn't clothing serve him anymore? Because on his madrega, like he was punished for Bathsheba, she was divorced. The Gemara says he didn't do a chait. But on his high madrega, he shouldn't have needed that. And to abuse clothing, Hashem doesn't want that. A Yid understands to it, like Yaakov Avinu, a multimillionaire, leaving love on his house. A multimillionaire. He went back for Pachim Katanim, for a coffee mug. He couldn't buy another coffee mug with his millions. The Midrash says he had a guzma of sheep dogs to herd his sheep. a Guzman, I think it says he had 600,000 dogs just to take care of the amount of sheep that he was taking with him. He was a millionaire. He was a multimillionaire. But a Yid appreciates what the Eibishter gives him and takes care of it. And so David was punished for this. So this fellow says he has a healthy neshama and he did a major chait and he felt terrible and never told about it at home. He just did tshuva. And he davened and davened for years. Tshuva shleimel avanecha. Tshuva shleimel avanecha. He says, years passed, 9 years passed. And the family has a simcha in Los Angeles, California. A family simcha. And the wife says to him, look, we can't leave the kids home alone. I can't farm them all out to relatives. You go yourself. It's your side of the family. When it's my side, I'll go. But we can't both leave the children for a Shabbos. You fly to California and be there for the bar mitzvah. So he flies to California. On the way, they hit a storm. And it's dangerous. And the pilot announces, we are landing in Las Vegas. And they put him up for the night in that hotel. And the same person is there. And the same approach to him. And he screams out to Hashem, what are you doing to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? For 9 years I'm doing tshuva. And you throw me into this hate. You think I'm going to be able to be strong enough? Says Rabbi Matisyahu, what do you mean? You've been asking me 3 times a day, 6 days a week, 18 Shemayna Esrays, here's your chance. You asked me for this. What do you mean, what am I doing to you? You asked me for this. You said, Shuba Shleima. Here you got it. Just don't do it. Just say no. Isn't that what you asked me for? 18 times a week for 9 years? He says, people don't realize that. That's what we're saying. And that Shuba Shleima means when the Nisayan comes again, we say no. We ask Hashem for that. So the Eibishter gave him a chance. That's how Rav Tzvi explains it. Explains the Shari Tshuva. On Shuba Shleima. So why am I saying that? Because in last week's parasha, we had the Meimor Ivo. I spent a lot of time on Shabbos trying to understand, you know, every year you can chidushim. That's the emerging thing about Torah. Chazara and Chazara and Chazara, and it's always new. There's always chidush. Torah is the most unbelievable thing. Lahavel, you can't read the same novel 5 times. You can't. It's boring. I know it already. I know the end. I know the end here also. Moshe Rabbeinu was told they can't come into Eretz Yisrael and Aaron HaKohen also. But there's always chidushim. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was told about this a long time ago. Well, he didn't want to go and take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim because he was a big onav. And the Eibishter hinted to him, you'll see it's Mitzrayim, but you won't take the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael. So the Sifsei Chachomim, I found the Sifsei Chachomim, the Sifsei Chachomim says, I think it's in Parashat Nasi, I forgot where I saw it. So, on Shabbos, I looked for it, there was a Maran Mokim. The Sifsei Chachomim, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu understood he wouldn't be the leader. He wouldn't take us in, which he didn't mind. He was an onav, but he thought he would go in. Last week's parasha, he heard he's not going in. Now, what happened in last week's parasha? What did he do wrong? So there's machlokes, Rashi Ramban, but Rav Kurzon wants to say it's all one pshat. Whether it's he called the Eden Moirim, whether it's that he hit the rock, whatever it was he lost himself. He lost his equilibrium, and the example that Eibishter wanted was that. We have this journey in life. A leader can't lose himself. A leader has to always be put together in front of his people. Like Rabbi Chana Vassim in Zuchan Levracha, the Moshel, my Rebbe was by his last Jerusha, my Rebbe should live in Biwa, my Rebbe Shana Wolfson here in New York. And he spoke to Rebbe Musa, to the Oilam here. People begged him not to get on that boat, not to go back to Europe. They're invading Poland. They're going to try to kill all the Yidden. Stay here. We need you. He said, my Talmidim need me. Dafka, because they're invading Poland. I can't leave them at a time like this. And he gave a drasha about Kiddush Hashem to them before they all died together in one mass grave, Rahman al-Islam. But he was totally composed and totally himself. And all this are lessons in the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu, who, you know, went through so much with us, the Medrash tells us what happened over there. It wasn't stam that Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock. The Erev Rav was making fun of him, and the Eibishter planted the Erev Rav for these Nisyonos, like Dosan V'Aviron. Right? They didn't go to Kriyas Yamsu with us, the Medrash tells us. They stayed in Mitzrayim with the Mitzrayim. They were not interested in going out, and they didn't die in Yimei Choshech, like never 4,800,000 other Yidden did. 4/5 of us. 1,200,000 adults left, each with their own children, and 4 families of adopted children from those 4 families who were Nifter. That's how the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim. It was heartbreaking, we can understand. It was as much simcha as it was, can imagine the heartbreak. Of go, but not those of Avivim. Hashem didn't have them killed during Choshech, and they didn't go. When they saw Kriyas Yamsuf in where they were in Mitzrayim, because the water split all over, and they realized what's going on, they ran. It was too late, says the Medrash. Already the Mitzrayim were covered by water. So says the Medrash, the Eibishter made a special Kriyas Yamsuf, one path just for them, to catch up to Klal Yisrael, to meet Klal Yisrael, because he still needed them to be in the Soyun until Korach. Then they were swallowed up by that vacuum cleaner opening that the Eibishter created once in the history of Klal Yisrael on the first day of Shabbos of creation, to travel around and suck in Korach va'Adosim, whatever they owned, and leave everybody who was good there. It didn't touch anybody. They said Nosu l'Koylam. People ran away from fright, but it only took the ones that had to be taken, among them Dosim va'Avira. But the Eibishter keeps alive because, like Mishnah Sharm says, we are put into this world to pass nisyonos, to pass tests. We're given many tests. And the tzaddikim are also given tests. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who was so much in nefesh for us. And here, they're sitting Shiva, says the Medrash, for Miriam Hanavio. And you would think that the Yidden would be contemplating the loss of Miriam. And the water came for her. No, instead they come and they're all upset. Nobody has water. They're coming and the Eibishter said to Moshe and Aaron, leave your Shiva. Take care of the Yidden. And the Eibishter made a nace that all the Yidden gathered, like Rashi says, in one place. All the millions of Yidden could all watch as Moshe Rabbeinu would talk to the stone. But the Erev Rav wanted to take away the Emuna in the Hashem of Moshe Avdai. So they said to the people, whoa, what do you think? He's going to talk to the rock and water's going to come out? He was a shepherd for decades by Yisroi when he ran away from Mitzrayim until he came back at the age of 80. He ran away at the age of 18. And he knows which rocks have water, which rocks have a wellspring underneath them or between them. So he's going to make believe Hashem brought water out from the rock. But he knows. It's not that he is Hashem. And he got so upset. And he said, that's one of the tamim that they give, that he said, so you want me to bring, we should take our water from this stone? Hashem can bring water from any stone. But I'm only going to hit the stone that the Eibishter said to. He hit the stone. He was supposed to talk to it. But only the one that he knew was Be'er Shomiriam. And I saw from one of the Mefarshim on Shabbos that he should have rather gone to a different stone to show them that the Eibishter would be water from any stone. But he was so upset with them that his machshava was, I'm not moving away from Hashem. You move away from Hashem. And they all drowned. That's what the end of the Erev Rav. He hit the stone once and a little water came out and they made fun. That's called water. It's going to feed us. So he hit it a second time, and water came out with such force it killed all of them. The Erev Rav. They were done. The Eibishter had his use from them, then his Soyun, but meanwhile, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron were told they can't come into Eretz Yisrael. Because even though they were so great, and we picture ourselves in that matzav, are there any of us who could have controlled ourselves in such a matzav? You have people there contesting what you're saying. You're the leader, and you're telling them all that Abish is going to be water from the water. Miriam's gone. She was the Tzelem Elikim that brought this out. Every one of us sitting here, we discussed, I think, this last year, that we're all Tzelem Elikim, and each one of us accomplishes something in the world that nobody else can accomplish. We all have a shlichus. We don't know what we're accomplishing because we do so much with our ruchnias. But whatever it is, Miriam, her Tzelem Elikim, brought water to millions of people and cattle. Millions. When she was a terrorist, it was gone. Her switch was turned off. And Moshe and Aaron had to take over that switch. When Aaron was nifter later in the parasha, the Anani HaKavod disappeared. Amalek came to fight us. Moshe Rabbeinu had to take over now all the switches. Mon was his, and the Be'er, and the Anan. When he was nifter, everything disappeared. We went into Eretz Yisrael with Yeshua ben Nun, and we had a whole different life. But that's what Tzelem Elikim is. So Moshe and Aaron had to take over that Tzelem Elikim. And they were taken to task. But in this week's parasha, Says Rav Kirzner, I believe it's from the Maharal. I don't remember him saying that it was from the Maharal, but I think that that's what he's, who he's quoting. To the Eibishter gave Moshe Rabbeinu an opportunity of Tshuva Shleima at the end of this week's parasha, that where Bilam was hired by Balak to curse Klal Yisrael. We shouldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Balak's biggest fear was, if we accomplish what we're supposed to accomplish, then Ra is eradicated from the world. Among that would be himself, Balak, who was a big mechashef, and he and Bilam were very evil, and he wanted to stop us. So he wanted Bilam to curse us. He saw that Bilam was able to help Sichon take over part of Moav. You know, why can't he help him to get rid of Klal Yisrael? It didn't work. Every aliyah in this week's parasha ends with Bilam telling Balak, I can only speak what Hashem allows. We have Bechira, and generally Hashem allows us our Bechira. Sometimes Hashem takes away our Bechira. We can't imagine how we could have done what we did. Sometimes. And we have to understand that's Hashem's world as well. And Bilam keeps saying to Balak, I don't have Bechira. I want to curse. I ask you to make another Mizbeach. And I want, but only good things come out. So finally, at the end of the parasha, he tells him, I'otzecho. And the Poshe Pesha is not this way, but Apidiktuk, this works out very well. Also, this, the drush on the pasuk, I'otzecho, I'm going to give you an idea, he says to Balak. I can't curse them. But Rachmana Litzlan, there's a way that they can hurt themselves and not get into Eretz Yisrael. And I'll tell you how it works. Rashi brings down, Elokeim shel Eila soine zimahu. The Eibishter of the Jews hates immorality. He hates immorality. So he says, I'm going to give you an idea. Es asher yaseh mazela amecho. What would make this nation of Jews just like your nation? Del Rachmar l'Islam fall down the drain. Just like your nation, la amecho. But acheris hayomim, when it comes to the end of time and there's supposed to be a geula shleima, and there's supposed to be the olam hatikun yumos hamashiach, I'm going to give you an idea. Bring out the women of Moav and Midian and get them involved in taiva, and then the Eibishter won't take them to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael is kodesh kodeshim. It's a holy land. We have to match Eretz Yisrael to fit into Eretz Yisrael. And they won't match. I can't curse them, but if you can get them involved in this kind of machshava and maise, then they won't go in. That's what's going to happen. And what happened? They even now they brought out regular people, even princesses, Kosbi Bas Tzur, the end of the parasha. And let's stop for a moment and get numbers here. How many Yid Nebuch were Oiver at the end of the parasha? So we know there were 78,000 Shoiftim. Each one killed two people who were Oiver. That's 156,000 people. That is 25% of the population, of adult male population. 25%? Rahman al-Islam. Of the adult male population. It's Pechodim. You know how big the Yetzirah was. And this Bas Melech, who was her shutif, who was her partner in crime? A Nasi. You know, he has a beautiful name. Shlumiel Ben Tsuri Shadoi. Just think of those names. Shalom, Kael, Tsur, Shakai. Right? Do you know, I don't think one bacha here is named Shlumiel. In fact, it's used as an insult in the Yiddish language. If somebody is behaving in a way that's not smart, they say, don't be a Shlumiel. It's, I think even the Goyim will use it today. It might even be in the dictionary, among the words like chutzpah and other things, cholin. Right? It's used negatively. It's a gorgeous name. How come it's an insult today? They said, don't be a Shlumiel, because of what he did, because he was such a holy person. He had such potential, and he lost it all for Taiva. He gave it up. So that name became an indication of silliness, of foolishness, and his name really was changed in the Torah to Zimri ben Salu, because Zoymer is lashon of being cut off. It's pruning in the Malachas of Shabbos, and Salu means to sully, to dirty oneself. So Hagam, his real name was Zimri ben Suri Shadoi, but in when he did his Aveiro, the Torah changes his name. He had a few names in the Torah. These are two of his names. But when he got a hold of Cosby, what happened in the story? So she said, I am not going to go with you until I speak to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what she said. She wants to speak to the leader because she was a princess. So she wants an audience with the king. So so he stepped to Moshe Rabbeinu and he asked, am I allowed to live with this woman? I said, of course not. She's not a Giyayrus, of course not. So how could you take Tzipora? Now, of course, that's a ridiculous question, like Korach's questions. What do you mean? Tzipora was called Tzipor. For the Lashon Tzipor Dror, she was a Tzedekah, she was a Giyayrus. She became a Yid, so he could marry her. Rus is not Choshev by us, we just named the whole Megillah of the Vanamela's great-grandmother. What kind of question was that? But it's Leitzanus. It's not. It's a joke. That's what Korach did. To say, if I have a whole bagel of tchelas, can I have to have tzitzis? Well, of course you do. It's about four corners. It's not about tchelas. It's about four corners. If a whole room full of svarim, sifrei Torah even, with kolach, they have the mezuzah. It's not negeh to sifrei Torah. It's negeh to a door and a mezuzah. It's like tzanus. It's making a joke out of Torah. And that's how people do averis. They make a joke. But don't forget that they didn't stand bring out in the Shem Midian and Moyov to make us do Averis. Involved in that was Baal Peor. We lost our whole dignity anyhow. Because all of these women were told not to let any man do any Avera without first serving the Baal Peor. And Peor means to uncover oneself. It's the same letter, it says Upara Rosh HaIshu, when a woman's a Soite. Part of the embarrassment she has to go through is to undo her hair. Because she didn't behave in a tzinistic way. So Baal Peor was an Avodah Zarah that was served in a very, very undignified way. A person would take a laxative and then disrobe in front of this Avodah Zarah in public and relieve himself. He had a loose stomach. That was what that was Baal Peor. That's why it was called Baal Peor. That was the service. And one person who had in mind to be mevazeh the whole Avodah to show how crazy it is, it says in the Gemara Sanhedrin, decided to show the people how sick it is, and they're going to sit on the nose of the Avodah Zarah and relieve themselves on the face of the Avodah Zarah. They should see how crazy it is that that's what people are doing to Avodah Zarah. But what happened was, when they did it, they got a big applause. And people said, wow, what a great idea, we're all going to do that. Because it was such a low matzav, so undignified. I remember Matasio said, Shlita, when there was a problem with the whole rumor about Lady Sheitlach being made from his hero of Avodah Zarah and the Lady Sheitlach until the Mevara, where the hair comes from. So ladies were wearing, everybody was covering the hair with a snood or with a bandana, not with a Sheitlach. So Rabbi Matasio, when he spoke, he said his wife told him, it's like embarrassing. I feel so uncomfortable to go out to the store in a snood instead of putting on my Sheitlach, but I guess I have to do it until the Mevara if the Sheitlach are made from Avodah Zarah here or not. So Rav Matzahira said this. I said to my wife, what is embarrassing? You look very nice. Like, what's embarrassing to go to the store in a snood, in a long tichel, instead of a sheitel? She said, I'll give you an example, said the husband. For me to go out of the house in loungewear is like the Mashgiach would give a shmooze in Lakewood Beis Medrash in pajamas. This is loungewear. You don't go out like that. The woman goes out dressed dignified. We have benas malachim. A man is a melech. The Mashgiach wouldn't give a shmooze in the basement of Lakewood in pajamas. How can I go shopping in loungewear? How can I go shopping in loungewear? It's not nice, not bechavadik for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She says, that's what's uncomfortable. And that's what we have to do until they mevarer it. The Baal Peor was just the opposite. So Moshe Rabbeinu had an esoyin here. What's going to happen? Now let's picture Moshe Rabbeinu's feelings. We're on the threshold of going into Eretz Yisrael. We're on the threshold at the end of 40 years, the Yidden will go into Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu worked so hard for this. And again, they're going against Hashem in such big numbers. He started to cry. And when the person doesn't have simcha, we learned in Vayeshev and Miketz and Vayigash that they lose the Ruach HaKodesh. Yaakov Avinu lost his Ruach HaKodesh when he was sad about missing Yosef. He first got it back. Vatipam Ruach Ruchai was in Parshas Vayigash when he heard Yosef was alive. Moshe Rabbeinu forgot the halacha, but Pinchas didn't. Pinchas, he cried, and the Yidden around him was saying Kriya Shema, and Pinchas remembered the halacha of Kanon Poigenboy, and he went in and he killed Cosby and Shlomi ben Tzuri Shadai and Zumi ben Solo. He killed them, and he was able to stop the Magefa at 24,000. Those 24,000 were part of the 156,000 that of the number that were Nifter, but it was still a tremendous, tremendous amount of people, but he stopped the Magefa. How could it happen? So Moshe Rabbeinu was, that was the true Shlema test of Moshe Rabbeinu, says. Now, why would the Torah tell us these things? Chas v'Shalom, the Torah says, Lashon Hara on Miriam, or on Moshe Rabbeinu, or on anybody, or Aaron HaKohen in last week's parasha? Of course not. Unless we need it forever. Unless we need it forever. Tomorrow's Yom Shlishi. In the Yom tomorrow, we speak about Kabbalah HaTorah. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say about us, that David HaMelech quotes in tomorrow's Yom? Ani Yomarti, I said, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokim Atem, you're mamish godly. By the time we came to Kabbalah, there are 49 days after Yetzias Mitzrayim, work on ourselves, the whole sphere. So we got rid of our Yetzias Hara. We were mamish like Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet. We were in Nemte Shari Tuma. We took the sphere day seriously, every day Amido. And the Eibishter says about us, I said, Elokim Atem, you're mamish godly. Ubnei Elyon Kulchem, you are all like the most elevated people. So it's like Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet. So I'm going to test you to see if you're ready for Olam HaTikun, for a Geula Shlema, for Mashiach to come. So I gave you a test, and I made that you should think Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't coming back. I gave them, the Malachim, the ability to make believe they're carrying the mitzvah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And what should you have done, Klal Yisrael? You should have asked the next in line in leadership. You have to have a Rebbe. Everybody has to have a Rebbe. And like my own Rebbe, he still has a Rebbe who's much younger than himself, because Baruch Hashem, he's over 90 and his Rebbeim aren't here. So he chose a younger Rebbe. He asks. I'll give you an example. He doesn't have the Kriyas, but he used to go for a long time, until let's say 10 years ago. He went to Eretz Yisrael every summer. We gave him a maton. We gave him and his wife round trip tickets and got him an apartment. He loved to be in Eretz Yisrael. One, the yeshiva was closed for the summer, the 10 weeks. And he stayed in the old city, and every day the Talmidim came and davened with him by the coast of Maravi, even on Shabbos. But then it became dangerous to go through Shar Shechem. They started attacking people, Rahman and Shar Shechem, at a certain point. So the Talmidim asked the Rebbe, please don't stay in the old city. We want to daven together, but Shabbos we can't walk there because we have to go around to Shar Yaffa, which is full of priests. Shar Shechem was much more modest. You know, and we don't want to have to walk through that on a Halig of Shabbos anytime to go daven. So could the Rebbe stay with us in Geula near all the yeshivas? Some Rebbe said he really didn't want to. He liked to be near the Kodesh Maravi. So he went to the Skvera Rebbe, who he made into his Rebbe, who was much younger than himself, and he asked him, what should I do? I'd like to be in the old city. The Talmidim want me in Geula. And the Rebbe told him, you must be with the Talmidim. You'll have to go to Geula. They need you. And that's it. From then on, whenever he went to Israel, he stayed in Geula. Stayed near Malchi Israel. And they davened over there. They davened in Geula to save themselves the Shemir Zainayim, to be able to be Shemir Zainayim. But what I'm saying is, you need a Rebbe. So what should you have done, Klal Yisrael? Gone to Alan and asked him, what should we do? We're lost. What should we do? And listen to him. Instead, you told him what you want. And Hur got killed for giving Musa. Achein, ka Adam to Musa, like Adam HaRishon, you brought back Misa to the world. Didn't work. You got at such a high madrega. I was hoping that the Kabbalah HaTorah would be the Olam HaTikun Mamish. I gave you a test like Adam HaRishon. You had no internal Yetzirah. I gave you a peripheral Yetzirah. From outside, the Malachim, just like Adam, had a Nochash. Ka'adam to Musa. And we have to start over again. So here we were on the threshold of Eretz Yisrael. And the Eibishter gave us a major test, because how could this happen to us? How could you even fall like this? So the Medrash tells that in Shittim, there was water that had such a combination of minerals that made this Yetzirah much, much bigger than it would be normally in a man. That's the kind of water that was by Shittim. The Eibush Tadav, it says the Lashon Mezra was the water of Sedoim. And Sedoim was full of immorality. And there was foods there that brought Taiva. And they played music. How'd they get Yidden Bechlal to go near these women? So the Medrash tells them, unbelievable how they did it. They knew that Yiddish husbands are good husbands. I moved to where I live now. It was a predominantly non-Jewish neighborhood. The neighbor who shared a wall with me was an Italian fellow. And he used to tell me every now and then, my son wanted to buy his house. Yidden started moving to the neighborhood. And his kids lived in Staten Island. So I said to him, T, if you ever consider selling your house, let me know first, because my son is interested. Not that I said, well, you're a great neighbor. I'm not asking you to move. But if you want to move near your kids, let me know. He said, Morty, I ain't moving. I'm staying with the Yiddish Shaboychiks. That's what he said to me. He says, they're safe, they're clean, they're nice, not my people. He was an Italian. He said, I'm scared of them. I said, but you want to be next to your kids and your grandkids? No, I'd rather be with you. Until they both died, they stayed in that house. And then it was untouchable in price. My son couldn't touch it anymore at that point. But the point is that, he admired the land. He said to me always, I wish my daughters would have married Jews, Rahman al-Islam. That's what he said. He said, they're such good husbands. I wish my daughters would have married Jews. Of course, I said, Baruch Hashem, they didn't. I said in my mind. But that's what he felt. And so what they do? They knew Yiddish husbands are good. And they buy gifts for their wives. So they opened up stands with linen, nice tablecloths, gifts. And they put up signs, sale, big sale, it says in the Medrash. So Yiddish men. And they put at these counters, old women, very tzanua. You know how they used to dress? Well, mama's just the eyes were showing, everything else is covered. And old women, not attractive women, and very tzanua. And the men went to the tables to pick up a tablecloth, to buy matana. And the prices were ridiculously high. And they said to these old ladies, what? I'm sorry, that's the end, really. That's what the answer is. I'll end in a couple of minutes. So he said, the sale's not here. The sale's inside the tent. In there is the sale. Inside the tent, they had young women, not some perfume, music. And the Avodah Zarah, little Baal Peors. Because once they entice the people, they said, not until you serve the Baal Peor. You got to drink this laxative, you got to take this, and serve the Baal Peor. Once a person was so low, they were lost. They were lost. And that was the test. The Eibishter said, you're going into Eretz Yisrael. You're in a high madrega, but the Eretz Yisrael, you have to be Kodesh Kodeshim. You have to be, there'll be the Nisyoinus of Gashmir. You see what the Eibishter warned us in Parshas Acharei. Kemasei Eretz Mitzrayim, Kemasei Eretz Kanaan. You shouldn't do them. So Aruch Hayim HaKadosh says, it's not speaking about not doing the averus of Gilui Aroyos. That's specific in the parsha, the Azharis and the punishments. It's telling us don't do things that bring to it. Don't get drunk. Well, getting drunk brings to the worst averus. A person doesn't have his mind. His mind is gone. Don't do what they do. And there the Aruch Hayim HaKadosh says, a chiddush, you should look it up. I have to rush. I can't really tell it to you at length. But you look up the Aruch Hayim HaKadosh on those psukim in Acharei, in the last parsha of Acharei, the parsha of Gilui Aroyos. So he says there that the Eibishter gave us a koyach to pass any nisayon he gives us in life, except this nisayon. It is the biggest nisayon, morality. He says the only way a human being can pass this nisayon is with shmiras einayim and shmiras hamachshava. It's the only way. He says this is such an insurmountable nisayon, and that's what we see the Eibishter gave us right before, and we went into Eretz Yisrael anyhow after this. Pinchas saved the day and shook us up. Sheva and Shimon were all standing outside waiting to see if their Nasi, if their rabbi does this. How can you expect constituents, congregants, to be more religious than their rabbi? We have to have Rabbein, but Rabbein we could look up to, who are in a high madrego. That's what we have to have. I have a few minutes. I have an unbelievable story that happened in my office. Sometimes a chassid brings, he wants me to meet the cow. This particular kala was from a modern Orthodox home, and very often modern Orthodox rabbanim, they're cutting out certain things from the Torah sometimes. And they told me about the shul, and so I said to this bacher, look, you have to get along with the mishpacha that you're going into. So you should go for Shabbos, daven in a regular shul in the neighborhood, and then go sit there, be there with the future father-in-law. He should be able to be proud and introduce you. But the davening is not so posh. And I won't tell you the reasons. Whatever it was, they tell me what goes on in the shul. Good. Well, it didn't take a few weeks. The parents showed up in my office with the chasna kala. And they sat down. And they said, you're taking our daughter away from us. I said, Chas v'shalom, I would never do that. I said, I even told them they want to be Mekabel Chol Yisrael. I told them, do it on a Tanai, in your house, not in your in-law's house, so you could go there and eat. And maybe later on in life you'll see, but right now, only Chol Yisrael in your own house, not by, you know, when you go to your parents, you're going to eat whatever they serve. So the woman says to me, the father who I didn't talk to, he was very, very upset, and you can see he was like, mamish stone-faced, he was very upset. But she spoke, the lady. She said, I'd rather give up Chol of Stam and eat Chol of Yisrael, and he should daven in our shul. So I talked to him about it. So she said to me, you know, look, you know, he's our rabbi, big Talmud Chacham, and it's good for us. I said, can I ask you a question? I'll ask you one question. Yes. I said, when you make a simcha, if you'll excuse me for saying this, but I said, does the rabbi give you a kiss, mazel tov? She said, yes. I said, you know, he's chayav malchus for that. Negia derech chibol. You have a gentlemanly handshake like this. You could have already a person who says it's okay, gentlemanly, it's not chibol. Well, you know, it's a cold handshake. But a neshika, how does Hashem start? What's the first thing we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yishakein in neshika's pi. That's the first thing we ask. I said, I want you to know, it's a lav in the Torah. It's a lav sheish by ma'isek. It's Chaim Malchus. I said, what am I going to tell you? All I told him is don't daven there, but be there. He should come for you, and your daughter's going to come, and there's just no shame. They're going to be there. And they asked me a bunch of other questions, and finally, this man said such a emes of thing, which is what I'm telling you. He exploded. All of a sudden, he spoke. And I remember how his daughter smiled, because it was such emes. He said, Rabbi, I will never keep the whole Torah. Never. So I said, why? Because I think my rabbi is wonderful and I will do whatever he says. So I said, that's wonderful. I said, you are honest. I said, and you're not responsible. Because the rabbi is responsible. Every rabbi has to lead his congregation toward Hashem. And you're going to have a big Gan Eden. But I'm so impressed with your honesty. I told him, I'm so impressed that you could tell me you'll never keep the whole Torah. It's very impressive, but I want you to understand that your kids are going to stay close. And we ended in very good friends. We ended the meeting in a good way. But the point is, it shouldn't happen to us. We have to have Rabbeim, and this is the right way. And I want to just end by saying, I really think we are on the threshold of Mashiach as well. We have such a year this year, a Shabbos Dikah Shavuos V'Tammuz this week. A Shabbos Dikah Tisha B'Av in 3 weeks. We're going to have Sudais and Smirais and good food. And it's our Bikush to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have to wait for Tisha B'Av. It could be this Shabbos that we should go straight in. It's called Naskinu Sudasa, Sudas David Malkom Mashicho. The Yom Shekula Shabbos. It could be any time. It could be Zoicha to it. And I think that the Eibishter has thrown at us at the end of our goal was the same kind of Nisayon. This telephone, this science, the technology, this science is so powerful, and the filters have to be so strong that we shouldn't let ourselves into any traps. We see that's what Bilam had an idea. So Moshe Rabbeinu had the opportunity to be calm again and to mamash understand. Look, we cannot fold up because we're a failure. Nobody, none of us, there are failures in life. We get paid for the chira. We don't get schar for accomplishment. We get schar because we're trying our best. And if we're a failure, like Moshe felt he was a failure. I worked and worked for all these years with the Yidden, and look what's happening. My Nossi. A Nossi. And what a name he had. You could tell he was once Sholem with Kael. And the Eibishter was his protector, Tzuri Shakali. Who's my protector? Hashem. And then what happened? Zimri ben Solu. That's what he became. Cut off. Nebuch. Sullied. Dirtied. You know, and so Moshe was broken. My Talmidim. Look at my Talmidim. It's not our job. Our job is Hashem. We're here to serve Hashem. Accomplishments? Hashem's business. We can't fold up over failures. I think that's the biggest limud. And that's what Kirsten points out. Our job is to keep on going. Do our best. And Hashem will give us successes and sometimes not. Don't worry about it. That's not what it's about. We from Tzara Agra, the whole sky is Tzara, and that's what it means. And we'll close with this. I think we mentioned it last year, but it's good to do that. That's what it means when it says Ein Dover Ha'omid B'fnei HaRotzei. It doesn't mean when there's a will, there's a way. It doesn't mean that. It means nothing stands in the way of the right will. Nothing stands in the way of bechira, of choosing the right things. Will we accomplish? Hashem knows. That's what it's all about. It's about serving Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide. We can't fold up and give up. And that's why it's in the Torah. Not just from telling stories that Moshe Rabbeinu never had a failing. Never had Pinchas had to take over. That's not what it's about. Us, eternally, learning a lesson. We are leaders today, whether we're an Avraham Avinu or a Yitzchok, whether we're Makarev by going out or by sitting and learning. And there'll be, hopefully Mashiach will come soon, there'll be only Simcha. But until Mashiach comes, there are accomplishments and there are Rachmanos on failures, and we can't fold up. The idea is that our job is just to keep on doing the right Bechira. That's what life is about. And yes, Hashem, we should be Zeichet to go from this beautiful Makom where there's no street, where it's so Kaddish, where there's no poisonous waters and no bad influences. But Baruch Hashem, it's Mamish Kodesh Kodeshim. We should be Zeichet to be transplanted, Bekarov Mamish, to turn the Hara Yerushalayim from sandy brown to lush green. Yemiyetz Hashem, as we all arrive from our summer camp, Heilige Mekoymos, hopefully Bekarov Mamish HaKodesh, and have a big celebration for Shabbos of the Talmud and Tisha B'Av. Thank you very much. I still hope you get lunch. Oh, whatever it's supposed to be now. It's for learning book. Okay. Shakoyach. Yeah. Well, you're so hot.